Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, Deanne? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty?
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
D.A., how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, who found a better way to mortgage so that you could focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, the return of Champ and Chump. Back by popular demand. We'll do that coming up here in about 18 minutes from now. We are all smarting after learning what Mraz has never learned. We'll get into your reactions on Twitter over where Mraz thought the origin of the USC Trojans mascot came from. And we've got your epic fail coming up later on in the hour. Eli Manning is no longer the starter in New York. I think that's the right decision by the Giants. The New York Giants were going nowhere anyway with him. And some people will say that this is embarrassing to Eli. Only 2 weeks in, let him play his way out. It's not only Eli's fault that the Giants are so bad. And that is true. But I think in some ways they have protected Eli so dramatically, this is another layer to that. They have refused to accept that Eli's at the end of the road. And so they've given him probably 2+ years longer than he deserved. And I think that this year, pulling him now, may also have to do with his career record being at 500 and not lower. If Eli Manning played the entire 16 games this year, assuming he stayed healthy, this is a 5-11 football team at best. So now suddenly Eli is going to be 6 games under 500 or so for his career. Do they really want that? To let him play out the string here? I think that might have been part of it, which seems shallow and immaterial, but it might have something to do with why they did it right now. Also, if Daniel Jones is ready and you are spiraling the drain, what sense does it make to keep trotting Eli out of there? The question is, does he become a Hall of Famer one day? I say yes. Top 10 all-time when he retires in attempts, completions, touchdowns, yards, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, played in 14 straight seasons, starting every single game, never got injured, highly dependable, 4 Pro Bowls, 7 winning seasons. I think he's going to get in. There will be a stink as he retires over the last couple of years, but I think that will dissipate as we get longer into his retirement. And 5 years after he retires, I think whether it's first ballot, second ballot, third ballot, Eli Manning is going to end up being a Hall of Famer. Now, does he want to play for a different team? That I don't know. That nobody knows. I think Eli would prefer not to have to play with another team. But if he feels like he got the short end of the stick this year and there is a contender that wants him next year, maybe he would be in for it. People want to connect him to Tom Coughlin, but they just spent all that money to Nick Foles. I don't think if Foles is their quarterback because he's healthy, they want to bring in Eli Manning. But there's always a need for a veteran quarterback out there in the preseason when somebody goes down injured or some rookie looks like a disaster, or some team feels like they're just a veteran away from being a contender. The question is, does Eli want to ride that horse? And I would say today he doesn't. He might feel differently after backing up a rookie for 14 weeks. The Baltimore Ravens are 2-0. They dropped a hammer on top of the Miami Dolphins in week number 1. And they beat the Cardinals in week number 2. And I've seen the Ravens put in the top five in some power rankings. I find this utterly ridiculous. And not because I don't think that Lamar Jackson can be very good. And not because I don't think that the coaching staff isn't very good, because John Harbaugh and company are. The reason is, the Ravens have beaten the worst team in the NFL this year, and perhaps ever, and the worst team in the NFL last year in the Cardinals. That, to me, is not reason enough to believe that the Ravens are a top five team in the NFL. Now, I realize power rankings after 2 weeks or 1 week are so dumb. They're beyond dumb. They're utterly insane to think that we have any true idea of the best teams in the NFL based on two games is crazy talk. It's totally crazy. I think we know the Patriots will be good because they're always good. I think we know that the Chiefs are going to be good because they're usually very good. And with Patrick Mahomes, they seem unstoppable offensively. I think we know that the Rams will be good because they've been very good. But when you start getting into, well, one-year wonders, or are they better than last year with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, we need a bigger sample size. So for Baltimore, I love what I've seen out of Lamar, and I love what I've seen out of the Ravens scheme, because week one, it was all about Lamar's arm. Week two, they put his wheels in motion with the run. Keeping people guessing and knowing that he can beat teams through the air is a huge piece of the puzzle for the Ravens' long-term success this season. But when you smash the Dolphins, who could be 0-16, and have mutiny, and you beat the worst team in the NFL last year with a rookie quarterback and rookie head coach by less than a touchdown, I'm sorry, I can't go crazy putting you that high in the power rankings. They'll have plenty of time to do that. And power rankings after week two don't mean bleep. Doesn't get you into the playoffs. Doesn't get you home field advantage. Doesn't win in January. So who cares? But I think that the early hype on Baltimore is very premature at this point in time. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. And Saturday, this Notre Dame-Georgia game is enormous at night. I mean, this is two top 10 teams. Of course, anything that involves a good Notre Dame team is ratcheted up to the next level, but it is not a college football elimination game for the playoff. It might be for Notre Dame. It is not for Georgia. Look, Georgia can lose this game by 60 points. If they win the SEC East by running the table and then beat Bama or LSU in the SEC title game, they're going to the college football playoff. No ifs, ands, or buts. If Georgia wins the SEC without a conference loss, they're going. A 12-1 Georgia team is going to the college football playoff with an SEC championship. So this is not an elimination game for them. For Notre Dame, it might be, because Notre Dame never wins this game. 18 last tries at a top five opponent. Notre Dame's 1-17. Notre Dame is 1-17 in their last 18 tries in taking down a top five opponent. They've lost their last 10. We see what happens every year when Notre Dame plays a really good team in a bowl. They get shellacked. We saw what happened when they played last year against Clemson. And granted, that was relatively close in the first half, but they couldn't stay on the field for 60 minutes. There will not be another challenge on their schedule like this one for Notre Dame. They do go to the Big House and play Michigan late October, but playing at Michigan is not like playing this Georgia team on the road. This is the biggie on their schedule for Notre Dame. Let's hope they don't get run out of the building. Last hour, Merez, in all of his innocence, his delightful innocence, admits when he doesn't know things. And that's what we love about him. I love that he is not too embarrassed to admit when he doesn't know anything. He doesn't try to act like he's smarter than he is. In fact, sometimes he acts like he's dumber than he is. It is not that part that is disconcerting. What is disconcerting is just how little Mraz does know from an educational standpoint. And last hour, bringing up the Trojans of USC, Mraz did not know what a Trojan was. He thought that USC was named after birth control.
It's a condom.
He thought that the creator or the CEO of Trojan condoms was a booster and had USC name its mascot after the condom for corporate tie-in purposes, branding, if you will.
Are we allowed to say condom?
Totally unknowing of the soldiers of Troy, of the battles centuries ago, the Trojan War, the Trojan Horse. No idea. Apparently has no idea about the movie that Brad Pitt started not long ago.
Didn't realize there was a Trojan movie. The Trojan Horse is like a play on words.
And so, these are disconcerting facts in today's society, in today's show, in today's landscape, that Mraz would have an entire life devoted to sports and not realize that the University of Southern California is not named after prophylactics.
A warrior from past South Californian days.
Joe tweets, there is no way a 32-year-old man could actually believe that about the USC Trojans' name origin. Mraz has to be playing a character. Joe, if I were you, I could understand thinking that, but I live with Mraz every single day now for nearly 7 years, and I can tell you, if this is an act, this is the greatest long-running act of all time, because it has been this way for 7 years. I mean, if this is an act, he has played a hell of a character.
The most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
Alex tweets, a Trojan is not a Southern California warrior. It was a Greek warrior, you buffoon. I bet you didn't read about Greek mythology back in grade school. I hope Tommy Trojan gets his sword and shows you what it means to be a Trojan. Hashtag year of the buffoon.
A warrior from past South Californian days.
That's very violent. Aaron tweets, you may have a case against the public school system for the education Mraz received, DA. It's as though someone ripped out every other page of his textbooks. The lack of basic knowledge is almost criminal. Now you're starting to get what I'm saying. His family's not a bunch of dunces. I mean, you would think Mraz came from a family where, I mean, they were just total idiots. They're not. It's just that this high school, for some reason, pushed Mraz along and allowed him to graduate grades he was not supposed to graduate without any true basis of knowledge. This is definitely on your high school, because how could they let you graduate if you didn't know what a Trojan horse was?
No high school teaches you about Trojan horse.
Well, how do you think everybody that's
going to... We have sex education.
Why do you think everybody tweeting in knows what it is except you? Do you think that...
Because they probably saw the stupid Brad Pitt movie, or they took college historical Roman classes, or something like that.
Well,
what do you think you're learning in high school?
I know what the Trojan horse and the Trojan War was, and I didn't take Greek classic history in college.
So I guess it was the Greeks versus the Romans.
Well, no, that's not exactly how it went.
I couldn't tell you what they were fighting over.
Well, yes, of course.
Lynn Swan's rights? I don't know what. Then what the heck's a Trojan if it's not a condom?
Boyd tweets, DA, where in the world did you get Mraz, and whomever taught him should be fired? He really doesn't know what a Trojan was?
The Trojan horse is like a play on words.
Dixie Landan tweets, just think if colleges were named after things that involved their state or school. Alabama Meth Teeth, the Ole Miss Drunkards, the Arkansas Uncle Daddies, the Tennessee Moonshiners, the LSU Mumble Talkers, the Florida Mans. The options are unlimited, DA. Brady tweets, I can't take Mraz seriously. This guy's a clown. The USC condoms? Take a lap, Mraz. Get him out.
They're not actually called the USC condoms. Everybody missing the point. My point was, I was always told a long time ago that one of the main boosters and the guy who invented the condom went to USC, hence the promotion of Trojans.
Well, what?
And then they had a night. Obviously, they're not going to have a big condom as the mascot, so they're going to fluff it up a little bit.
I just can't believe that you had never heard of the phrase Trojans outside of birth control.
As I said, it's not like a big pop, you know. I watch TV. The only two Trojans I see are USC and prophylactics.
It's a
condom. Nobody comes to your door Halloween, knock on the door for candy. What are you? I'm a Trojan. You never see that. So please.
Well, I just love the idea that all of your knowledge is distilled down to Halloween costumes and movies.
Again, excuse me for celebrating.
A. Pierce tweets, damn your thoughtful sports takes, D.A. Mraz thinking the USC Trojans were named after condoms is why I listen.
A warrior from past South Californian days.
Alex tweets, this is the dumbest thing you've ever brought out of your pig hole, Mraz. It's now the best moment in Mraz's dumbass comments passing the time he said Jacksonville was named after the Jackson 5. Hashtag year of the buffoon.
The Trojan horse is like a play on words.
Paul tweets, listening to Mraz makes my head hurt. The USC condoms, shaking my damn head.
Then what the heck's a Trojan if it's not a condom?
I am, again, going to reiterate this. This is why it's a miracle this show gets on the air every day. An absolute damn miracle. Because the executive producer of a nationally syndicated radio show in the middle of the day on a massive national network who has dedicated his life to sports. We work in sports every single day. This is not even Columbus was not a pilgrim. This is not that they don't speak Egyptian in Brazil. This is not that Jacksonville isn't named after the Jackson 5. This is actually a sports tie-in. He doesn't know that a Trojan warrior was a soldier from the Trojan War. He thinks it was named after a condom company. And that tells you all you need to know.
If I may interject here, D.A.
Please.
Some of the examples of Sean's brain power you just went through were kind of just like misfires, to oversimplify them, in his brain, right? I mean, then the freshwater, saltwater thing, like, he thought about stuff and it went in a weird direction. But did you say before that someone told you this?
I don't remember who. It might have been somebody that worked here a while ago. We got into a college football conversation and condoms, and obviously in the tie between USC and that. I honestly don't remember. All I'm telling you is now I'm starting to think about Night at the Museum, and is that what that little guy was? Was he a Trojan Roman guy? Because then that makes sense, and then that's probably, that was like the war, right, what they fought and the little people in the Night at the Museum? Am I right? Was that the Roman War?
Again, it is...
The Trojan War or the Roman War?
It's delightfully innocent and naive that this is what you admit to on national radio.
We're friends. I'm having a conversation.
I know. It's just terrifying that you get the basis of your historical knowledge from a Ben Stiller movie.
Robin Williams was in it as well. But am I right, though? Is that the guy? Is that the same thing?
I think so. Yes, I think.
Because I didn't see A Night at the Museum.
I saw all three.
Of course you did.
And this is where Mraz is supposed to draw his knowledge from. This is why I don't think you're a dumb guy, Mraz. I think your education failed you because
there's certain things I don't know. But what I know well. Where does the salt go?
I mean, how your high school could have passed you without making sure you were tested on the Trojan War is beyond me.
Again, it always started at like the Declaration of Independence, and we got to Martin Luther King.
You always say this.
Where was the Trojan War?
You didn't have European history? You had no European history.
Not real. I mean, I knew about the Eiffel Tower, and I knew about France.
You didn't know about the Louvre.
No, but France gave us Lady Liberty. We learned about that.
Nice.
That England has Parliament. Like, we learned stuff like that.
Okay, that's where English and British and European history ended.
Like you went to school for one day every year. And the rest of the year, you just kill time. Like, the first day they walked in, like, we're going to throw 8 facts at you. This will get you through sophomore year of high school. The rest of the time, just don't kill anybody while you're here.
It really is.
Good cursive. Look, maybe I just didn't pay attention to some of that stuff. I might have had something where I didn't focus as much as I should have. I was very engulfed in sports and food and Jenko jeans and hair gel and whatever my acne medication was. Like, that was what I dealt with in school. I'm sorry if I didn't pay attention to who was in charge of the Roman Empire in 1444 that led to the condoms and the USC and all of that. I'm sorry if I missed that chapter. Maybe I skimmed through. Maybe I was taught it, and maybe I failed it. I don't know. High school's 15 years ago, 18 years ago. I don't even remember.
Well, nobody wants you to know everything. I mean, I couldn't give you a year or like the overall context of
this. What decade was it in?
But I know what decade the Trojan was, and I know what the Trojan War was.
Who did they fight? We still don't know. You said they fought along the Greeks or versus the Greeks. You want to make fun, and we don't even have the facts.
No. We are blowing you out in this competition because we know it exists.
Yeah, this is right now Patriots-Dolphins.
All right, fine. Okay, but it's not 50-0, it's 43-0. Just
the Trojan horse is like a play on words.
Okay. When we come back, my champ and my chump, and shockingly, Mraz will not be the chump. DA, CBS Sports Radio, the DA Show.
Yeah, you like that big boy?
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Is that how the elephant got there?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that?
That's awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Just another day here on the Mothership. Thanks so much for being with us on a fine Wednesday. Tomorrow, we've got your Super Dave College football picks. And then on Friday, my tasty top five going into a great college football weekend. And Mraz's up the gut NFL picks. Football season is here in full swing. And I've also got Sunday morning football with you coming up this weekend, as always, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern right here on the network. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, rather. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Brian tweets, please tell Mraz that the Trojan horse wasn't Joe DiMaggio's bat protector. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Justin tweets, I bet if USC's mascot was the pork belly sandwiches, Mraz definitely would have known who they are.
Then what the heck's a Trojan if it's not a condom?
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Sam tweets, I got a new job. Haven't been able to listen to the DA show in a year. Today of all days, I listen and hear Mraz think USC is nicknamed after condoms. His knowledge of history is based on movies. It's like I never left. We are wildly consistent, I will say, here on the DA show. You know what you're going to get. It is time for your champ and your chump.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
So this was a cool night last night. Mike Yastrzemski, familiar last name, grew up in Massachusetts. He grew up a big Red Sox fan. And his grandfather was Carl Yastrzemski, one of the greatest Red Sox players ever. And so, a night to play at Fenway as a rookie for the visiting San Francisco Giants was special into itself. He got up at the plate. The Giants were leading 4-1. The night was already perfect. And then, he's a 29-year-old rookie. He had played 400 minor league games. 400. A 29-year-old rookie, Mike Yastrzemski, in his first game ever at Fenway Park on a random interleague night that doesn't matter in September for two teams out of it. And here's his at-bat in the top of the fourth.
3-1, Yastrzemski hits a high drive center field. Jackie Bradley going back, looking up. It's gone! And you can only imagine what's going through the head of Mike Yastrzemski. And his whole family, he has homered at Fenway Park.
Dave Fleming on the call. I mean, how crazy is this? His grandpa plays 23 years for the Red Sox, was an 18-time All-Star, the American League MVP in 1967, one of the most beloved players in franchise history. His grandson, Mike Yastrzemski, grows up in Boston, a Sox fan because of his granddad, obviously, ends up being a forever journeyman minor leaguer, finally makes the show at 29, has actually had a pretty decent season at 29 as a rookie for the Giants. They randomly come to Fenway Park this year, which, as you might imagine, Giants at Boston isn't normally a regularly scheduled affair, and then hits a home run in the game That was as cool as it could get on a September night with two teams out of it. You got to love it. Mike Yastrzemski in baseball, your champs last night.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is the family, the parents of this four-year-old Florida State kid that wants to buy out Willie Taggart's contract. Because this story goes viral because it has all of the makings. It's a four-year-old kid. The Florida State Seminoles are once again taking on water. Nobody likes Willie Taggart. And so this kid sells lemonade to help raise money to buy out Taggart. Ha ha, so cute. Okay, it checks all the boxes of idiot media carrying this story, right? But here's the thing. He raised $241. All right, that would be pretty awesome if this kid was selling 25-cent cups of lemonade that he had stirred together, some country time mix, put a little lemon in it. $241, that'd be amazing for a couple of days of work or a couple of weeks of work. No. This kid who's 4 years old was selling his lemonade for $20 a cup. $20 a cup. And on top of it, he didn't even make the lemonade. They just bought a gallon of already made lemonade and he dished it out. So all of this is just about the parents getting attention to try to sack Willie Taggart, because also the dad in this instance is a Seminole booster and a very opinionated one on social media. So he matched, the donation. So it was $482 toward the FSU Seminoles program to buy out Taggart. Of course, $482 doesn't get you anywhere, okay? You need like $18 million. Also, this kid holds up a sign that is clearly written by his dad. Okay, and is that supposed to be sarcastic? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But this kid uses the word gravitate in the sign. He's four. He ain't saying gravitate. That's his dad. And he says his favorite player is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's been gone from FSU for 2 years. This kid is four. So at 2 years old, he's like, that's my baby paper, Dalvin Cook. I mean, come on. The dad of this instance, total chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
When we come back, we've got your cut line and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
They put the glucose in my blood, Damon. Come on. Those cells are there. You know how hard a battle it is? It's uphill all the time.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us on a fine Wednesday. Tomorrow, we've got Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football, so we will discuss the great Gardner Minshew and whether the Jaguars can recover with talk all week about Jalen Ramsey getting traded after his run-in with Doug Marrone. You love Ramsey's ability. He's one of the lockdown corners, the best corners in the NFL. He brings an attitude and a swagger to that defense, which they usually feed on, but you can't be fighting outwardly with coaches on the sideline than demanding a trade. And I will say that it's become a little problematic, I would say, over the last couple of months in the NFL, where now the playbook is hold out, demand trade, get it. Antonio Brown really wrote the book on this thing twice. He said, okay, I'm going to be enough of a pain in the ass to where they're going to have to get rid of me. And they did that in Pittsburgh. And then he did that again in Oakland. And now that he's given plenty of other players around the NFL the playbook. It's not the first time that somebody's been traded. I mean, Eric Dickerson wouldn't sign with the Los Angeles Rams, forced his way out to Indianapolis. Certainly you have other players throughout time, pay me or I'm out of here. But with Antonio Brown doing it in succession this offseason, I think it lit a fire under the guys like Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, Minka Fitzpatrick, hold out, demand trade, or pay me. And now you're going to get more of that as Jalen Ramsey has signaled the same thing. I want out. I'm not happy here. I want out. Which in some ways I understand. Hey, it's your responsibility to build an organization that players want to be part of. You can't blame the Patriots for Antonio Brown wanting to play there. You can blame the Patriots of how they underhandedly helped dissolve the situation in Oakland behind everybody's back. But the fact that AB wanted to play there, you can't blame them for. But at the same time, you can't also have every player who ever faces any adversity say, fine, trade me. I'm out of here. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. And we're reading through your questions of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Tim in Maryland says, DA, how much time do we need to give the Baltimore Ravens before you're truly on board with them? Look, I think the Ravens can be very good. I think the Ravens were very good last year. I like what I've seen out of Lamar Jackson. I like that they've opened up the playbook. I like that he can do it through the air, like week one, and the ground week number two. I'm just saying I can't say that the Ravens are a top five team in the NFL right now because they beat a team that has openly quit and the Cardinals by a touchdown. Again, combined, those two teams might have five wins this year, maybe four, maybe three. You beat two teams with a combined three wins, I'm not putting you in the top five yet. Steve tweets, your hate for the Patriots is comical. Just accept that they are a great team and quit your crying. Steve, that's not really a logical take here. We all hate the Patriots, unless you're in New England. Nobody said they're not a great team. We all accept that as well. And you can't quit crying until this thing is finally over. Because if you do, then you've just given up on life and the light inside of you has gone. It's gone dark. If you are a true NFL football fan, you hate the Patriots unless you're in New England. Or then you have no heart, you have no soul, you have no brain. I mean, only people with heart, soul, and brain can tell you that they hate the Patriots and want it to end because they actually care about the NFL. If you did not care about the outcome of just your fantasy football team, maybe you would not care. But I am highly confident that the dark days are coming back to New England. It will end disastrously, and there will be a grand karmic reckoning. I am positive of this. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it'll happen. We all know it'll happen. Then the rest of us, the other 31 fan bases, we will dance on your grave and have a great time doing it. Bernie tweets, DA, to be fair, you guys are all getting a D in world history. The Trojan War had nothing to do with the Roman Empire since, well, Rome was a couple of thousand years after the fact. Hashtag DA show dunces.
Oh, okay.
Just as a backdrop here, the story of the Trojan War was a conflict between the kingdoms of Troy and the Greek Empire, which happened perhaps at about 1,000 B.C. At 1,000 B.C. And this, of course, included the Trojan horse. And this ended up being the basis for the grand tales of the Iliad and the Odyssey. And I'm sure Mraz has read both of those works.
For sure. Right after Goosebumps.
The Magic School Bus.
Let's get the stories that did not make the cut. Here are your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Is it possible our worst case scenario could unfold with the NBA? And that would be that Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes a member of the Golden State Warriors 2 years from now. 2 summers from now is when Giannis will be a free agent if he does not sign that Supermax with the Milwaukee Bucks. And Ramona Shelburne, who has joined us here on the show before, NBA Insider, says that the Warriors are lurking. Well, look, we're 2 years away from this, and I know this makes good copy, and look, I am feeding myself into it as well because I'm talking about it. But I'm frankly not worried about what happens 2 years from now concerning the Golden State Warriors. If the Milwaukee Bucks end up building a winner around Giannis and he wins a world championship at NBA Finals, If they've got a winning team, I don't think that you have to worry that Giannis is going to run away and go to Golden State. He might, but he might do anything. 2 years is a long time. There's a lot of basketball to be left to be played and a lot of big games and playoff runs, etc. So, yeah, the Golden State Warriors forevermore are going to be lurking as a free agent destination. They are creative with their payroll. They're going to have a gleaming new building, so a lot of other funds coming in. They're going to be a very rich organization for a really long time and aggressive in trying to build a winner. Of course they're going to be lurking. They're going to be lurking for everybody all the time. But look, I ain't getting hot and bothered 2 years in advance of where Giannis might land. Can we let him start this basketball season? Can we let him get through the first half to the All-Star break, see what happens this postseason? Now with the Warriors disassembled in some ways, they're not nearly the evil empire that they were, and so it's pretty wide open in the NBA. Can we just let Giannis like play this season, and then maybe we can go into this next year and start discussing potential plays? But you know, this is the problem with the NBA, that it's not about the here and the now. It's always about the future, always about where guys might go, always about what super teams might be built. And in a lot of ways, that just is exhausting because it's never actually focusing on the here and the now. It's focusing on the next, always the next. And what use is that? That's 2 years away.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And Mraz didn't know about where the phrase Trojans came from. But that actually, is that still going to be our epic fail?
I thought it was. That's okay. What I put together.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that we decided.
Did I miss something else?
No. It's going to be hard to top that, I think, all year long, whether that's the epic fail, every single day for the rest of the season.
For the rest of the season?
Well, the football season, because that takes us kind of through the end of the calendar year.
You've totally lost me, but it is our epic fail.
We're talking about USC. We're talking about where the nickname the Trojans came from. And Mraz's logic here is so crazy flawed that it makes you just wonder how he could know anything.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The Trojan obviously could have the big hand up, leg up, because it's got a big sword.
It's a condom.
Do you think that USC is named after condoms?
Well,
oh my God!
Do you really think that their nickname is named after a prophylactic?
I never really thought about it, yeah. But that's all I've ever known a Trojan to be.
So,
like the Trojan horse is like a play on words.
We're going streaking! Yes!
Nope. That was more of a thing back in Troy. So what when USC has its mascot, what do you think that mascot represents?
I honestly,
the guy in the armor with the sword.
Just like a warrior from past South Californian days.
Holy smokes. I was trying to describe the action.
You think that's just an old Southern Californian warrior?
I thought I read that one of the biggest boosters all time was the person who owned the Trojan company.
Condoms?
Yeah. Are we allowed to say condom?
Yes.
All right, so the guy who invented the condom, didn't he go to USC and he's like a big booster?
You think that's how they got the Trojan nickname?
Yeah, I think it's basically like an advertisement.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
You think USC...
What the heck's a Trojan if it's not a condom?
It's a soldier of Troy. Like back in the...
Troy's a different university. It's where OC went.
No, back to the empires, the Roman Empire.
So it's a Roman, that's why they have the helmets and all that.
Yes.
So is that where the condoms got their name from?
Yes, I guess.
Do the condoms have anything to do with USC whatsoever?
No!
It doesn't sound delicious.
So the guy didn't go there that invented the condoms?
I don't know. Maybe that guy did go to USC, but that's not why they're named the Trojans.
I thought this was all a big conglomerate.
Very moist.
I guess not.
That doesn't make any sense either.
A whole lot there to unpack.
Well, I think we have the addition to 2019 Year of the Buffoon montage.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I was wrong, too, by the way. That was the Greek Empire, not the Roman Empire. Kevin tweets, please help me out here, DA. My coworker thinks Mraz-isms are staged. Let Mraz know it's not Troy, New York we're talking about here. They're not. Again, if this is a character Mraz is playing, he has played the greatest character in 7 years. He has never let on to me that it's not real. I've been with him every day at work for 7 years. I've been with him at his home, around his family, around his wife. I've played on his flag football team. We have gone out to dinner. We have gone out to lunch. We have had beers together. Never once did I think this was an act. If he is acting, he has played the greatest ruse on me of all time. Of all time. The USC Prophylactics. Looking to rebuild under their new athletic director. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Malone on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, we'll look inside Gardner Minshew versus the Titans on Thursday Night Football. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.